أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. آيات الله وعزاد خراساني علماء بزرگ and brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. No honor is greater than the honor of being a member of the High Council of the Majma At-Taqrib Bain Al-Mazahib Al-Islamiyah. I rank this membership higher than the fact that I am director of the Muslim Institute in London and leader of the Muslim Parliament in England. This is not because the Majma itself is as yet a great institution with a proud record of achievements. It is not. What is unique about the Majma is that it represents the commitment of the Waliya Faqih and Khalifatul Rasul of our time, Ayatullah Al-Uzma Sayyid Ali Khamenei, to uphold the unity of the Ummah throughout the tenure of his office, which inshallah will be a long one. It will be an honor to belong to the High Council of the Majma, even if I have been elected or appointed to it by its own members. But the greatest honor is the fact that I was appointed to the High Council by the Rahbar himself. No king or emperor could bestow a greater honor on a person so low in rank and learning as I. The Haftah-e-Wahdat celebrates the fact of unity of the Ummah as created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Haftah-e-Wahdat also celebrates the unity of the Ummah as established by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Haftah-e-Wahdat is the annual renewal of the Ummah's underlying unity of purpose as defined by the Quran and the Sunnah and Seerah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This unity is not a goal. This unity is a fact. It is only the behavior of Muslims that has deviated from the fact. For example, every child is born a Muslim. It is his environment and the family that may, and sometimes does, make the child into a kafir. The kuffar's denial of rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not affect the fact of Allah's rububiyat. Allah is Rabbil Alameen. Irrespective of whether or not He is recognized by us or by anybody else. Similarly, the unity of the Ummah is a fact of Allah's creation. Only Muslim behavior has diverged from the fact. The Haftah-e-Wahdat is an occasion to draw our attention to our deviation away from the Wahdat as created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a call for us to return to the state of nature, Deen of Fitrah. It is a call for us to return to the state of nature, which is the state of unity of the Ummah. The fact also is that the state of nature, or the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always asserts itself above the forces of deviation. Among recent examples of this assertion of Allah's will over human deviation are the Islamic revolution in Iran, the leadership of the late Imam Ruhullah Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi, and now the leadership of Ayatollah Al-Uzma Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I have always maintained and said so from time to time that the leadership of Imam Khomeini has restored to the leadership of the Ummah the position this high office enjoyed at the time of the leadership of the Ummah by Hazrat Ali alayhi salam. The leadership of Ayatollah Al-Uzma Sayyid Ali Khamenei is a continuation of that leadership. Taqrib al-Mazahib is a lofty goal and may take a long time to achieve through laborious methods of research and dialogue. But Taqrib al-Muslimun can be achieved instantly by every Muslim. It does not require time. It only requires the change of individual behavior. It is this Taqrib al-Muslimun that I have pursued for more than 40 years of work in the Islamic movement. Over this period, I have personally written a large number of books. I have written many research papers and perhaps several thousand newspaper articles. My writings have been published in many languages of the world. Whether my writings are good or bad is not for me to say. All I can claim, and indeed I do claim, is that in the millions of words I have written, I have never deliberately written one sentence that might not be acceptable to any Muslim of any school of thought in Islam. In the newspaper, the Crescent International, and in Al-Hilal al-Dawli, we have never published an article not acceptable to any Muslim on the ground of his or her school of thought. In particular, in the field of political thought, political analysis, political commentary, and state and politics in Islam, the Muslim Institute in London has achieved a unique global language of dialogue and discourse acceptable and used by Muslims belonging to all schools of thought. Agha Wahidzadeh has been kind enough to refer to the fact that I am also leader of the Muslim Parliament in Britain. I want to say a few words about the Muslim Parliament in Britain because no doubt you have heard a good deal about it in your newspapers and on television and on BBC World Service and so on. Very briefly, as you know, in the conflict over the satanic verses, the Muslims in Britain were put in a very difficult position. We were a small minority surrounded by a very hostile environment and a government which has traditionally been an enemy of Islam. And in the middle of it, we were also sandwiched on the other side by the fact that the Imam of the Ummah had issued a fatwa that this man should be put to death because of his irtidad and because of the fitna fil ard that he had created. For us as citizens of Britain and for us as Muslims and followers of the Imam, this was the greatest single crisis that any Muslim minority had ever faced throughout history. This was a situation for which no precedent existed. We could not look up a book and say, how was such a situation handled before? Who had doubts about it are coming to accept that this is the correct manifestation for a minority to achieve. And if, inshallah, this model succeeds, we would find that very significant minorities that now live in our Western countries, in Europe, in North America, in some countries of Africa, in Australia and New Zealand, in many other countries, they would also become organized in a similar fashion. And in this way, the minorities that had traditionally played no political part in the world, in the future of the Ummah, will become politicized and part of the Ummah and the goals that we have to pursue on a political platform. And in the process of doing so, we have also found that the Muslim Parliament of Great Britain has attracted Muslims of all schools of thought. There has been a convergence. There are Shias, there are Sunnis, and there are all other schools of thought who do not normally pray together. In England, they all have separate masajid, but they are all coming and sitting and working together on the platform of the Muslim Parliament of Great Britain. Finally, Mr. Chairman, I want to go through briefly some of the points as a guideline that we use in our public work in order to make sure that the work we do is equally relevant to all schools of thought in Islam. First of all, we take the position that in Islam there are no sects. In Islam there are only schools of thought. We also take the view that all positions within Islam are equally true and valid. And therefore it is not for any Muslim to say that my Islam is better than your Islam, or my Islam is more true than your Islam. All points within Islam are equally true and valid. That the differences among these schools of thought are the natural result of ijtihad, of research. And this of course includes the understanding and interpretation of Nas. We have also held the view that the Sharia itself, the true path, the noble path, the Sharia itself has to be implemented in view of ijtihad only at the hands of the mujtahids of the present time. It cannot be implemented by the kind of rulers that we have in the Muslim world today. The fact that Islam was completed in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is of course accepted by all Muslims. And the schools of thought, Maliki, Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, Jafri, Zaidi and so on, were attempts to consolidate the early experiences of the Muslim community. They were not attempts to divide the Ummah. If the founders of these schools of thought were to come today and find that the Ummah was divided over their ijtihad, I think they would withdraw their ijtihad. To them, the unity of the Ummah would be greater than, the greater value than their own ijtihad. It is the process that should continue, the process of consolidation. And this is the process that the Usuliyun within the Jafri school have very successfully pursued over many years. And this has led to the Islamic revolution and the establishment of the Vilayat-e-Faqih and the Islamic Republic in Iran. It is this very process. There is no difference between this process and the process of ijtihad undertaken by the founders of the great schools of thought in Islam. In my view, in matters of state and politics and leadership in Islam, there need now be no major or insurmountable difference between the positions of the Sunni and Shi'i schools of thought in Islam. In fact, there are no more any differences on these issues. The time has come, as I understand Ayatollah Taskhiri said this morning, the time has come for a major global effort on the part of the ulama and leaders of all schools of thought to repair and restore the links of mutual love and affection among all Muslims. Now, this requires imagination, it requires a great deal of planning, it requires a futuristic view of the future of the Ummah, and ultimately what we are seeking is the triumph of Islam over Kufr. I believe that within the last few years, a new dimension of conflict has begun between Islam, the world of Islam, and the Western civilization. These two are incompatible ways of life, Islam and the Western civilization. This conflict is not going to be a war lasting 4 or 5 years like the First World War or the Second World War. This conflict between Islam and the Western civilization is probably going to last for the next 100 years. It will be a 100-year war. And ultimately, we are going to win this war. But one of the most important factors before we can win this war is to make sure that we all work together, fight together.